Hey, you guys, welcome to Regardless. I am so excited to have you here. Regardless is the go-to hub for tips and tools to keep you going, babe, reminding you that you've got this. Hi, my loves. Welcome back to Regardless. I am so excited for this episode because I have a dear, dear friend and literally my second mom. Like, I'm not even kidding.
I know. I feel that way too.
I love you. Karine Shahar, she is an executive, ex-Apple, now founder and entrepreneur of Strategic Global Talent, which is a consulting and coaching firm. Did I say that correct?
Yeah. HR. Behavior analytics consultancy. Yeah. Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. And we met through, so crazy, a mutual friend.
Yes.
At an event at Neuhaus.
Yes.
And this woman got on stage and was able to share this tool that has literally changed my life and I know has changed so many of her clients' lives. And it's a behavioral analytics tool. And it's allowed me to really understand my behavior and how I operate and navigate the world with myself and also my relationships, regardless of them being romantic or even with coworkers, friends, and with myself. So I am so excited for us to sit down and talk about what this tool is.
So am I.
And how my you know, listeners can use it to their benefit.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so share with us a little bit more about how you discovered this tool.
Yeah. Yes. I'll even go a little bit further than that.
Okay. Give it to me.
Which is just to say that I was pretty lost in my 20s. And, you know, knew I was really good with people, knew I, you know, was hardworking and had a strong work ethic, but was like really lost. And eventually with time and experience and, you know, the time in your 20s to kind of try a lot of things, fail at things, I discovered, you know, that HR was actually my thing, which sounds kind of funny because it's a tough job, but I actually really loved it. And I loved making impact on people's lives every day, even if it was like a really small thing, but like giving them a job, you know, that's like a big deal for someone. So it's been 25 years now of working in HR. I know I'm aging myself a little bit, but and about 15 years ago, I was working for Apple's ad agency, and we were scaling really, really fast. And we went on this hunt for a behavior assessment to like really help us support our people, manage our people effectively, and really like hone in the team dynamics to see like what were the unhealthy patterns that were created from the group. What were the good patterns and how we could like really kind of fix and tweak to keep the team like always at its top performance, but ultimately really keeping morale high, right? Because it was a really intense environment. At the time, Steve was alive. So it was like 25 ads a week for Steve Jobs, which was an incredible experience to be a part of, but obviously intense. And I took my role of really taking care of people as best as I could really seriously. And it was a tool that really helped. And since I kind of have become addicted to it, and use it in everything. And I've used it with many different startups just to help them understand who their leadership is, who their teams are, how to get the best out of them. Also sometimes determine you've hired all wrong. And then just like creating self-awareness because, right, awareness of yourself and awareness of others allows you to be intentional and thoughtful in the way that you work together. And also, for me, hones in on this thing that I like live by, which is acceptance, right? Accepting people as they are, accepting yourself as you are, not shaming yourself for who you are, and then figuring out a way to kind of like hone in on that and thrive, right? Because if we're playing into who what makes us happy and brings us joy, like we're thriving, right? And then also like breaking patterns that don't serve us, right? So when I can understand that I do a certain thing and that's just who I am, but that doesn't serve me, instead of like analyzing myself and thinking about my daddy issues, I might just go, well, I have a tendency to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to stop doing that, right? It's just a simpler way of processing things in the moment as well.
I love it. I love
that's my little summary.
Love it. That's super helpful because I think it like lays the land for everyone listening of like what it is that you actually do. Because I know that we used a couple of big words there.
just saying. Yeah, no, 100%.
No, it's super helpful. And even like when I first met you, there was something about you that I was like, whoa, I feel like we've known each other in a different lifetime.
Yeah, 100%. Yes.
Crazy. Like, you know when like you meet those women and it's like, no, we're like family already.
Instant connection.
And also to see like your ability to so easily and quickly and effectively read other people and how they operate the world and where they get stuck and how they get stuck. Like, you did this at an event in real time. And I'm like, I need to know this woman. Seriously.
Yeah.
And our first talk together, and I kind of want to set the stage up for everyone listening out there, but I got on a Zoom call with Corinne when I was in my relationship.
Yes.
And I was like, Roman, like, you have to do this with me.
Yes.
And he was like, like, I'd be down. So I had like the first 45 minutes and you did my behavioral analytics on me.
Yep.
Which was so helpful.
Yes.
And it all made like
– it all aligned perfectly.
Do you remember like some of the top
– Yeah, I remember your PI perfectly. You know, and I don't want to give away too much. I don't want to influence people who end up taking it. But you had this very ambitious spirit, right? So you're like incredibly driven, incredibly ambitious, really big visionary. You know, you always start with the why and the big picture, which is like a classic entrepreneurial spirit, and very creative, very comfortable with risk, really high on the need to connect. Like, what was really cool about you is like your need for controlling things is like aligned with your need to connect with people. And so you will lead, but through your relationships and through being people-centric, which is, I think, a lost art sometimes, and also highly impatient, right? So, and what's funny about that is when you think about how much you're trying to accomplish and how much pressure you put on yourself, it like all aligns with who you naturally are, right? So there are those moments where for you, you know, and I said this to you when we spoke, is like you kind of have to accept that it's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And the more you can accept that it's going to take time, it won't feel so bad because you have a North Star and you're clear on that.
Yep.
And it's all about finding that purpose or the outcome to like give you, to like allow all the other little stuff that comes in between that purpose to happen because that's just part of the process, right? So yeah, it was a really amazing conversation and obviously it totally aligns with what I had already experienced from you, but
crazy.
But we didn't know each other, right? So I was a total stranger telling you all about yourself. And there's something that happens in that moment where you're like, whoa, you feel seen, right? That was how I felt when they took me through my results. I was like hysterically crying because it was like I'd never talked about
therapy.
It's stuff that you don't talk about too.
No. And then you can better understand yourself and why things trigger you or why you and maybe your partner keep on falling in the same
pattern. Yeah, exactly.
And then you did my ex-boyfriends, and I'm like, okay, this makes sense.
Yes.
But it actually allowed me throughout our process of being in a relationship to better understand him and how to communicate in a way that he would like receive it and understand where I was coming from and vice versa.
Yeah. Well, because you were completely different, right? Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I think, you know, you don't want to be exactly like your partner. That's a little uninteresting and boring. But and that leads to other challenges, right? But ultimately, it was just to allow you guys to find that way to compromise. And also, again, to not personalize the things that he needs, right? Yeah. Because he's his own person with his own natural behaviors. And so that way, instead of like making it about ourselves, which is a natural thing to do, and a lot of people do, you can be like, no, this is just who he is. This is what he needs. Mm. And has nothing to do with me. And again, like we come back to acceptance. Of like, okay, so now I can say to him like, oh, I need this from you. And I know that I'm asking for a lot, but like today, this is how I need you to show up for me. And you can be really specific about it. The other thing that the test does, which we didn't talk about, is it measures your adaptation, right? So how you were adapting to your environment. And I don't know if you remember that part, but you were basically in this job where you were unhappy. And it was showing that it was impacting like your drive and your confidence. And I think that's also part of why the tool that I use is so powerful, because understanding who we naturally are and how we're adapting to our environment is like, it allows me from a data standpoint to immediately see like, oh, here's the gap. Whoa. And this is what's so frustrating. And as a human, we don't think about ourselves that way. We don't think about like how I'm adapting. We're just doing, we're living. We're, you know, that's what people do. But we don't always think about what's that impact on me? Like, oh, I'm a really social person, for example. And if you put me in front of a spreadsheet 40 hours a week, I would go into a depression, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, not literally, but I would probably be really unhappy. I would feel unsatisfied and I would wonder why. What is it? Like, I have a great career. I'm making great money. Like, no, actually, no, you need human connection to thrive. So wow. I think that's what I love about this. And then also, it's so quick to take, right?
Absolutely.
You took it in like 5 minutes.
Okay, question for you.
Yeah.
Because I know we spoke a little bit about my experience with it. I want to learn about your experience. Like,
oh, when I did it?
Yeah, like, and how has it allowed you to better understand yourself and your relationships?
Yes.
And like, when you talk about adaptability, like, how did you use it to increase happiness, success, livelihood in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Like, your personal journey.
Well, my behavior is much less extreme than yours, I would say. Like, you have a very pronounced profile is what we call it, right? Like, you were consistently always this way. And that's a beautiful thing. Not everybody has that. I'm quite adaptable, actually. And my two consistent drivers in my disposition are that I'm impatient and that I have a need to connect. And those are – so it's basically like connecting and getting things done.
Yeah.
But then my control and my formality are situational, which means that I have like actually – 4 or 5 different versions of me, depending on the situation. And I kind of just didn't understand that about myself, that actually I always thought I was in response to others, right? Oh, this guy needs me to behave this way, or my boss needs me to communicate less. But this really allowed me to understand that that's really natural for me to adapt to every environment. And that actually that adaptability sometimes hurts me because I can be too accommodating.
Whoa.
And or I can want to fix everything for everybody because I just want to take care of everybody. Mm. And that was like behavioral patterns that were not healthy because I am a fixer and I will solve everything you could possibly imagine. And but I can't do that anymore.
No.
It's just like not a healthy place, right? I can't solve everyone's problems. But I would say at about 10 years in my career, I discovered, no, I'm going to empower, or 12 years probably, if I'm being specific, I'm going to empower people to solve their own problems. And I think that's when this whole thing really took off for me, because I realized that using the tool, I can teach people how to solve their patterns, positive or negative, and help them get to where they want to be, playing into their natural strengths. And so I think that's how it helped me, because and then it made me realize like, oh, I can be entrepreneurial and risk taking. And so I, you know, I left Apple, Steve had passed, everything kind of changed. And then I started my own business. And then I have gone in-house in big Hollywood companies or big e-commerce companies. And I've done that. And I've also gone back to being a freelancer. And I think what I love about it is that I can do the stable job, but I can also do the entrepreneurial stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's really dependent on who I'm showing up as that day. And the other thing that's really helped me be is just like intentional. Like in the morning, I look at my schedule. I think about who am I showing up as today? Who do I need to be? Who do I need to bring? Who does my client need from me? Because different clients require different versions of myself.
Yeah.
And so that's how I think about it. I think about that little chart that I see, and then I, you know, pull the levers. And that's what I help people do. Like I get them so hooked into the PI, or this tool, I should say. And so then what ends up happening is as they are living their life, I make them hang it somewhere so they can see it every day. And so that way they can go, oh, I did that thing again where I was impatient. And actually, had I played the long game, I probably would have ended up where I wanted.
Whoa.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
So is it like kind of looking at like your strengths and weaknesses? I mean, because every strength or every superpower has – there's a dark side.
Of course. Yes. Of course. There's your strength is also your weakness.
Yeah.
Like my impatience
can be a weakness.
Yes. But it can also like hurt because what I did learn also is that I have – from the assessment is that I have a very high cognitive. I'm moving much faster than average people, like 30 to 40%.
I feel that deeply.
You have the same thing. And so what happens is people are like, God, this woman is moving too fast. She needs to slow down. Like, and I'm, you know, already like 20 steps ahead, right? So what I learned, and I would say the biggest thing I got out of it the last 10 years, honestly, since I did it, is I am okay with the long game. I am okay with not solving it right now and kicking the can down the road. I've learned that actually sometimes rushing it, forcing it, controlling it, ends up going completely the wrong way.
Do you know, is it because the tool
kind
it's a forecast of if you are leaning too heavily into the dark side of your impatience, it actually is not good for you.
It's not going to serve me, and I'm not going to end up getting the outcome because when I'm in that low, low patience place, I'm just too reactive.
Got it. Okay.
Right? So it's like, I know this is kind of overused, but I've learned to respond versus react, right?
Got it.
And so sometimes that means like I need to write a nasty email because I need to get it out, but I'm obviously not sending it. And I might decide to never send it because actually there's no purpose. It's just my reaction.
Wow.
So it's like really taught me mental resilience, discipline, just being really intentional. And again, acceptance. Like for me, those are like have been really useful.
Amazing. Yeah. So I'm obviously hearing that it's played a magnificent, huge role in your
– yes.
Obviously in your career because yes. I think it's allowed you to expand like – what is possible?
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Super cool.
Yes, it's so cool. And I also love that. What not to do, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, I don't want to do that project. It's totally not
what in alignment.
In alignment with who I am.
And where yeah. I want to be.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yes.
Curious, how has it improved your relationships?
Oh, so funny.
And like beyond career, like when it comes to romantic, because I know a lot of 20-something women like – dating, relationships, I think that this is something that is game-changing. I mean, it was for me. But when we hear a lot about, like, communication is everything, right? Like, in a relationship.
Depends on the person.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I would say in dating and in relationships, it's quite interesting, right? Because I when I am in long-term relationships with people, I have them take the test. Not because I want to know everything about them, but more so that way I can play into their strengths, right? And also not personalize things because, you know, women, we get in our heads. 100%. It's unavoidable. It's just who we are. It's okay. But it's what happens, right? So I think for me, like, as soon as somebody takes the test, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, he just needs his alone time. Like, it's not about me. He's just like a really independent person. Or if, like, say it's just moving too slowly, like maybe he's high patience, you know, high patience people, they're methodical and meticulous, but they move much slower than me, right? Whoa. So I would tell you, me and a high patience person, I don't know. That might be too big of a stretch for me on a day-to-day basis, right? Mm. I did it for my kids too, right? So that each kid I can manage. But I think in relationships, it's incredibly helpful. And I do marriage. I have done marriage counseling, not from a place of some expertise, but purely just looking at the relationship from a data standpoint and then creating rules and commitments to each other. Like, you know, I had a husband who like didn't want to talk that much and a wife who wants to talk all day long. And, you know, we made rules of like when they could, they ended up having a meeting on a weekly basis where she could go through her whole list of all her stuff because on Sundays he finally would have the capacity to like really engage on that stuff. Wow. And then she would get what she needed. She knew that on that Sunday she was going to be able to ask all her questions. So she felt satisfied. And then when he'd come home from work, they'd just have fun together. And, you know, their relationship got a lot better. And then we just created a bunch of like rules to stick to, and then you stick to them because it takes 3 weeks to start a new habit, right? You stick to them. Maybe you do one new rule every 3 weeks just to not overburden yourself with too much change at the same time. And then you can get into this like groove that's, but you have to want it. Yeah. I mean, I can't say this enough. I think a lot of people love to victimize themselves. And, you know, at a certain point, like I am all about 100% radical accountability of self. Right? What was my role in that? Yeah. What could I have done differently? So at a certain point, like, you know, it's okay to be like, oh, this really sucks. Yeah. It hurts. But at a certain point, you have to just say to yourself, no, but I'm going to hold myself accountable of maybe what I could have done differently in this situation to have a different outcome. And that's goes back to the thing I was talking about, the long game, right? Like, that's how you learn. You fail. And you say to yourself always, that's how I cope with self-criticism and shame. And I definitely an overachiever and have shamed myself before. But I have spun that now into what's the lesson?
Whoa.
And then I carry that lesson with me and I take it really seriously, which is like, oh, that's that time. Don't do it again.
So I have a question because I can relate with like the long game because I'm extremely impatient. What do you mean by what's the lesson? Like when you don't hit a certain mark or a goal, like can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, it could be that you at 26, you know, were like, oh, by now I'll have met the man of my dreams. Yeah. I'll be at this place in my career. And I'm going to be making a ridiculous amount of money, which is totally not realistic either. And so there's like this thing where I think in your 20s, and I did this to myself too. I like was obsessed with finding my guy. I was obsessed with being successful in my career. And what would happen is when I didn't get those things, I would shame myself. Yeah. For, like I did something wrong. And I just think your 20s are a time of like self-exploratory. And like, and so like, yeah, that guy that you thought was going to be your husband is not your husband. But man, I learned a lot from that relationship. And I know what to avoid now. Like, you know, we'll do the PI for the next guy. And, you know, maybe I'm going to be honest and say, hey, I don't know about this guy, Skylar, you know. I don't know. You know, we'll see. But maybe not. Maybe it's also just learning about someone's behavior too. Yeah. Like, not everything has to be about the tool. It can also just be like, huh, are they somebody who's always in control or not in control? Is this somebody who has trouble having hard conversations? Is this somebody – there's ways to, like, analyze people.
Absolutely.
In an effective way just by watching them.
Right? I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, like, a very popular buzzword, which is, like, love languages, right?
Yeah, love languages, yeah.
Okay, question.
Yes.
What would you say is the difference between a love language and, like, a behavioral analytics tool? And, like, when do you leverage the different tools that are accessible to us, right? Like, there's so much shit out there. It's, like
–
when do you know when to be like, oh, it's because he's avoidant? Like, I think we rely way too heavily on that.
Yeah.
Just going to keep it real.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of other things at play.
Yes.
And it's just because it's a trend. But, like, I am curious to hear from an expert what you have to say about love languages and then the difference between that and the behavioral analytics
tool. Okay. So, first of all, behavior analytics is 50% of who you are, right?
Okay. Okay.
And the other 50% is, like, life experiences, gender, where you grew up, cultural nuance, right? Like, who your parents are. So that impacts how your behaviors play out, right? Your value system, okay? You could be, like, a high control person, you know, and be a terrible person.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But in other people, you could be a high control person who's, like, ambitious and is for good and doing all these wonderful things, right? So values play into how your behaviors play out. So that's, like, one, like, crucial part of it. Okay. Then, oh my God, Love languages. Yeah. So then the love language thing is interesting, right? Because depending on someone's behavior, you could maybe guess a little bit what their love language is, but I still think it's, like, a separate thing because it's all dependent on how you grew up, right? So, you know, maybe, like, it's quality time, or I know for me, I'm every love language. I want it all.
Me too.
I know.
Me
too. I want it all. It's all even, which I thought was really
funny. That's interesting.
Which I thought was really funny.
For sure.
I don't care about gifts. Gifts is, like, the thing. I don't care about gifts, but the other four all equal, which I thought is interesting. But, you know, the thing with the avoidant, the attachment styles.
Oh, sorry. Now I'm getting myself
confused. No, you're fine. But
love language versus attachment
styles. But I think about the attachment styles, and this is my perspective on attachment styles. I can be all three depending on the person I'm dating. I can totally have insecure attachment.
It's avoidant, anxious.
Okay. Yeah. And, anxious attachment. Okay, so I can feel anxious. I can have anxious attachment if someone is making me feel anxious and not feel safe. I can have secure attachment if they know how to have a healthy relationship. And you know what? I can be avoidant when the person is just a total creep and I don't want them anywhere near me.
And I also think it depends on, like, what season or space you're in. Like, we're changing all the time. Like, I don't think we should put so much power and meaning into the attachment styles, because there's so much more at play.
Yes.
And I think that's why I love your tool.
Yes.
Because I think it allows you to look at so many other pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right about timing. It's like, post my divorce, I was very avoidant. You know, I was like, ugh, last thing I want. So I just think, you know, for me, I don't like to live in a box. Mm-hmm. I would just say I like the nuance. That's why I love the behavior assessment, because it just helps me understand that, like, just because I would react a certain way to something doesn't mean the other person's going to react the same way I am. Mm. And I think
love that.
No, but it's a big point, right? We'll be like, why wouldn't he have called me? Like, I know he, you know, we had a great time the other night. Well, you know, maybe, like, he just wants to hang out with his friends tonight and he needs a little recovery alone time, and that's part of his profile and it's not about you.
It's interesting because I think it's so easy to make it about us, right? Like, especially when we really like someone. And it's like, how do we realize that this has nothing to do with me?
Yes.
This is a him thing.
Yes.
And sometimes the best thing that you can do is just to realize that it has absolutely nothing to do with you nor your ego. And honestly, that's really freeing in a way.
It is, if you can accept it.
Mm. You don't think a lot of people can accept that?
I think it just takes practice, like everything. I read a great book. It's called Radical Acceptance. I would highly recommend. Okay. I mean, it repeats itself a lot. So like, you can skim through, but incredible book. And I've literally implemented it into everything that I do. And it brings me a ton of peace. But I think it's practice, right? Like, we're going to regress. I might make it about myself one day, you know? Mm. And then, you know, a couple hours later, I'm like, okay, it's not about you. This is his thing, whatever. But I think with age, you just, you have time and experience and you can practice. And you also start to question yourself. You should question yourself a little bit. Like, why am I upset? Why am I attached to this person? Like, I've gone on 2 dates with him. He's a stranger, right? Yeah. Like, I often tell my girlfriends when they're like getting caught up in like the new guy, I'm like, he's still a stranger, you know? So just remember that. Mm. And so I'm like that. I find these like little lines that help me.
Yep.
Right. Which is like, oh no, he's a stranger. Yep. You don't know him.
I do the exact same thing, and I'd say the same thing to my girlfriend. It's like, you guys don't know each other.
Yes.
You just met. Yes. Dating is to get to know each other.
That's like, exactly right.
Because we create this huge idea and fantasy in our head about who this guy is when we don't even know him yet. And then we start to attach our worth, sense of self.
Yes.
To this person.
Yes.
That we don't even know. And who knows if his behavioral chart is like, you don't even know.
Yeah, you don't even know. I mean, the best thing to do, and again, it comes down to like time, self-worth, self-love. Yeah. If you can focus on what's best for you, you tend to make the right decisions for yourself, you know? But I think, you know, we don't always listen to our gut.
No.
And our gut is there to serve us, you know? And we might know like, oh, this guy's never going to be like what I need, but I really like him and I need the distraction and it's kind of fun. You know, but like when you're in your 20s and you want to have babies, like you don't have that much time to fuck around. You know, I hate to say it. I mean, but if you don't want babies and it's like, oh, just have a blast. And like, don't even worry about it. Then it's just like a life of romances, you know? So I just think like when you're in your 20s, there's just this huge, huge pressure. And for women, it's so real because we have that biological clock and that is real, right? Yeah, sure, you can freeze your eggs and you can do those things, but like having kids past a certain age is like exhausting, and you become in your routine of just self, which is also beautiful and wonderful, and I celebrate that. I have tons of friends who don't have children and they're living their best life, but I just think like we have that pressure.
Yeah.
100%. And that just adds this extra layer, but then it's like because we're pressuring ourselves and we're trying to control the thing and I'm trying to find the guy and he's got a da 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 and he's got a, what is it, the guy in finance and whatever. But you realize that you're pushing that away even more because you're not focused on yourself. Mm-hmm. You're focused on what you want. And so you get stuck in this want versus just being like, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to create space for everything. My career, my friends, leaving the house. Mm-hmm. I just read this funny like dating thing that was like, you need to leave the house. Yeah, I need to leave the house. but it's funny, right?
Yeah.
So like,
get out there.
And it will all come. Like actually, the less you focus on it, and the more you focus on the things that are good for you, it all shows up for you. The universe rewards you. Actually. And I know it sounds so woo-woo, but it really genuinely works.
True. And I think the more that you get quiet and you listen to yourself and you understand yourself, the more you'll actually understand what it is that you want.
Yes.
And I honestly, truly believe that the universe, God, source, like hears our whispers even when we don't know. And those whispers can be action. Like even today I went to Cafe Lux and I saw this guy sitting down with his dog and I've seen him get coffee there every single time I'm there. And I'm like, and so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to introduce myself because this is just crazy at this point. And so I went up to him.
I love that.
And like, we started talking, but I'm like, it's because I opened myself up to a possibility of connection. It's because I got myself outside. Yeah. It's because I'm leaning into my strength of connection.
Yeah.
It's because I understand the way that I operate and I just leaned into it today.
And also you have nothing to lose. Like my mother always taught me, you lose nothing by asking. You lose nothing by trying. You know, I was just having this conversation this morning. I don't want to have any regrets in life. You know?
Yeah.
So like even in your relationship, it's like if you feel like you needed to call and you needed to talk it out and you needed more and you it's okay. I mean, obviously don't be a psycho and call 20 times in a row. But like there's a balance. But I always tell people, like, if you feel like you need to keep trying this relationship, then you're not done with it. Like, if you're not strong enough to walk away from it, then there's something that you still need to repair and solve. And that's okay. There's no shame in that.
I have to ask you something.
Yeah.
This is super interesting. There's this idea of like, I think especially in our 20s, there's so much noise and different people's voices and opinions surrounding us all the time. And that's been kind of debilitating for me recently. I kind of had a breaking point where I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, where is my voice? And now I know what I'm doing, but it was like a moment.
No,
I had a moment.
We all regress, okay?
I was just like, I can't any longer. Like, I'm like, I cannot. And it's probably burnout as well. But I have 100%. Like a moment of that. And recently I'm like, oh my God, why is it that I'm so loving? Why is it that I'm so sensitive? Like, why is it that I want to have this final talk or whatever it is? And like, I'm the same way as you, where it's like I put a lot of pressure on myself and I shame myself and I guilt myself for not being strong.
Are those thoughts
and pressures and self-imposed pressure, like, is that correlated to my chart? Like, where is that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Because you're so ambitious, right? Like, you're so driven, right? And it's like this relentlessness in you. Mm. And so for you, it's like you're unstoppable. Mm. And so when you believe in yourself at the level that you do naturally, you have great parents who gave you a lot of confidence, which is amazing. You it's hard to kind of give up on something.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can say it.
What? Oh. And then I get annoyed about that.
Yeah, because you know, well, relationships have to be mutual. You know?
So how do women like who write like want to understand their own behavioral chart and also their partners?
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's a super powerful tool, but also in order for it to work, do you think that both people will need to want it to work?
Yeah. Everyone has to, like, both people have to want it to work. You can't just be, anytime a relationship is imbalanced and one person is pulling and the other one's like, it's never going to work. Okay. Balance is the most important thing in a relationship. Obviously there's ebbs and flows. Like, someone's giving more than the other because someone else is dealing with something that happens. But ultimately both people have to want it and both people should be doing the work. And then the behavior analytics is great because it just creates this acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. So also, like, some people are like, yeah, I mean, he's just like never goes to bed when I want to go to bed. Well, you know what? Maybe he's somebody who doesn't need a lot of sleep. I can see that on the on the profile as well. Okay, well, it's not about you. He just doesn't want to go to sleep when you want to go to sleep, right? So I think for me, it's about figuring out, like, what are the things, especially in a relationship, like, what are the trade-offs? Life is a trade-off always. Yeah. You're never going to have everything you want. It's impossible. Life doesn't work that way. There's always, and we notice it, like, oh, my career is going great, but my relationship sucks. Or, like, there's always going to be something. So, again, I go back to accepting that there's always going to be something. Life is suffering, the Buddha says, right? Yep. He's not wrong.
Yep.
But through that suffering comes growth and experience and wisdom and acceptance of who you are, and that, like, yeah, you're gonna fuck up sometimes, you're gonna regress, you're gonna be somebody that you're not always into, and you know what, you're gonna be sad and you're gonna cry and you're gonna be down, and it's normal. I would be worried if after everything you went through you were like whistling away. Like, I would be concerned. I would say, what drugs are you taking? Like, what is happening, right? So I'm a big believer in feeling the emotions, and then at a certain point I it's like released from me.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm not big on moping. So I allow myself a little bit of time to mope. I mean, I have kids, so I don't have like the luxury of just hiding out in my house for a week and doing nothing. They are a huge inspiration for me every day because I want to show up for them.
Absolutely.
But I just think, like, feel the emotion and then learn from it. That's what gets me through the emotion is, okay, what's my lesson? Yep. And once I find that lesson that really made it, like, oh, that's the lesson. And then I'm able to just release it and move forward. But again, years and years of practice, right? Like, I'm simplifying things that have taken me a long time. I did one of the things that I love for this is the 5-minute journal. You can get it on Amazon for like $15.
Intelligent change.
Have you seen this?
Of course.
Yeah. So the 5-minute journal, it takes five
They're
minutes.
Amazing.
You write your three goals for the day, three intentions of the day. you write your mantra for the day. I always write the same mantra, which is I love myself as I am.
Regardless.
Exactly. Sorry, we've been needing to use that
word.
And then you, at the end of the day, you write the two things that went really well and the thing you could have done better. And what I like about that, I'm big on accountability. I said that earlier, but you have to hold yourself accountable.
No one else is going to do it for you.
And also, like, it's not about them. It's about me and what's best for me. And if, like, I need to stretch every night before bed, and that's, like, that's always the thing that I don't do. It's so bad. But the
point, are you supposed to?
I feel like I should. I feel like I'm getting older. I mean,
make you feel good.
I don't know. You know, so my new thing is taking a magnesium bath. That's, like, my way to relax. And I stretch in the bath. And that's great. But my point being is it could be that this thing that you've been trying to do into your life, you don't. And so every night you can say, well, I didn't stretch again tonight. But it's okay. You know, tomorrow I'll try again, right?
Regardless.
And that's what I love about this little journal. It takes me 5 minutes. I set my intentions for the day. And I don't know what it is, but the second I write it down, it happens, if not better.
Yep. It affirms it.
It affirms it.
And I think it's also a super beautiful moment to have with yourself and also to like appreciate what you do have.
Yes.
What is working.
Yes.
Because we do deserve that.
And it's easy. I'm big on like, I'm big when you're trying to change, just make it simple. Yeah. Like, oh, I want to start going to the gym. Okay, start with 2 days a week. Next month, start 3 days a week. Like everything does and this is another thing that happens in your 20s. You're like, I got to do it all like in a week. Actually, you don't. You could create like a plan that lasts for 12 months and every month you're tackling one thing and you know what? There's serotonin.
Yep.
You're going to get that boost in your brain. You got it done. And then maybe next month you do two or maybe you just stick to the one. But every month you're moving forward towards the ultimate goal, right? It's you got to enjoy that part of the journey, you know, and understand that if you try to do everything too quickly and it fails, then that is going to feel bad.
Yeah. Okay, two last questions for you.
Ask as many as you want.
Okay, so let's say someone was obviously wanting to take some sort of behavior or personality test for free.
Yes.
Are there any sort of resources out there that you recommend?
I mean, you have tons of stuff. You have like Strength Finders and you have tons of different tests that you can do for free. I would say like that's cool.
Yeah.
But personally, I want someone who's interpreting for me. Because I think if you're going after impact, you know, like there's some people, I just take them through one session. I spend an hour with them. We spend the first 30 minutes on the results, the second 30 minutes on their plan, and I barely ever talk to them again. But they're off and running.
Wow.
And I'll hear from them like 6 or 9 months later to be like, that 1 hour call changed my life.
I mean, our 1 hour call with it changed
my life. When have we ever done a follow-up session?
Never.
But we're like family. Every time we hang out,
you get me.
I get you, and it comes up, say like, "Well, that's why this has happened, right?" So, and even in your breakup, I was able to really support you with like the acceptance of the fact that maybe not the right match, right? Great guy,
great guy,
love him,
yeah,
but not a match for you. You're a big spirited woman, you know. So it's going to take a special man who can keep up with that.
Where are you at, though?
Yeah, well, he's going to come when it's meant to happen. You know, you're still young. You have time. There's no rush. Enjoy it. I say this as a divorced woman.
Like literally,
there's also no rush. Like, you know.
But they're like, kind, like not really. There's no rush.
There's no, I think, again, if you just like kind of let go of the rush, you know.
Because I'm impatient.
Yeah. And so you think you like want it. But actually right now, like you don't need. No. Deal with that. No. Actually, what you need to focus on is regardless, you know, and building, you know, this company. And it's going to do amazing things and it's going to help so many people. And that is going to fill your heart up, honestly, more than any
man.
I
have to be honest. This is my baby. This is my husband.
Yeah.
It's my soul. It brings me so much. Every single, like, feeling of love and companionship you can feel in one.
It feels right.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's something to be said about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
When something feels right, you're not thinking about it. You're not worried about it. It just clicks. And I would say to all the, you know, young women out there, like when I met my husband at the time, my ex-husband now, but I knew. It was like obvious and it wasn't complicated and it was simple and we aligned on everything. And, you know, you can't predict the future, right? But We're great co-parents. I consider him one of my best friends. We talk every day. He's a wonderful person and he's a wonderful father to my girls. And I'm super grateful. And he came into my life and it didn't work out the way I planned.
Yep. Right?
But regardless, we have incredible kids.
Incredible.
I know. They love you so much.
Family.
And we co-parent really well. And life turned out completely different than I expected. But I'm really satisfied, and peaceful is the word that I use. Like, people are always like, I want to be happy. And I'm like, happy is a temporary emotion. For me, I want to be peaceful. I want to have peace of mind. And that means like acceptance and understanding myself. Really, like, obviously I'm big on therapy. I have my therapist every 2 weeks. I love her. But when I'm in the moment of like work or dealing with whatever, I'm not going, oh, that's because my dad did da da da. You know, or my mom, you know, I'm thinking, oh, that's my impatient kicking in, or that's me wanting to control the situation and I can't control it, right? So I can immediately check myself and pivot,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I can spend more time with people. Like, we can do every month a session where I'm holding you accountable to the goals that you want to hit. Sometimes we need an accountability partner.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know, I have that. I have a girlfriend. We hold each other accountable every day and it's 100%. Great. And we can, and that's great. Because you don't have to do it.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. I'm big on that. Ever since the fires, I have like this teary eye.
That's what people are saying.
I have like teary eyes.
It's beautiful though.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Now fill in the blank.
Okay.
And this is like kind of like your affirmation. We're marking our stance for today's episode together.
Yes.
Regardless. Of blank, I am blank.
Oh, God. I would say regardless of the noise around me, I am peaceful. Yeah.
I want to do this.
We could do this all day.
All day. New episodes drop every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.